young people, because they're the holders of technology. So they're the ones with the mobile phones, they're the ones on Twitter and Facebook. They can actually even begin to open those accounts for their parents. They can begin to actually convince parents that these are just not tools where young people are creating havoc, but actually they can use these tools to even learn and get information. We've partnered with, for example, the government of Kenya, the Ministry of Planning, and we're actually having courses for government officials on how to use Twitter, how to use Facebook to engage this new emerging generation of young people.
Are they receptive, these government officials?
Interesting enough, yes. I think, and a lot of them are beginning to actually understand, and they're saying it themselves, that it's been quite difficult to capture the imagination of young people when using old media like TV. Young people are just not there. So I think for them, it's been a task trying to actually engage young people in the spaces that young people exist. So for them, it's been quite engaging and encouraging. I think the other catalyst was also looking at the role social media played in the other countries in the north, for example, in North Africa, where it's clearly that young people are saying that the elder generation was not listening. So I think the governments in sub-Saharan Africa are saying that we need the tools to listen. And the tools to listen is simply engaging in those spaces that young people are.
I remember in the opening session, the Secretary General did ask if the UN was listening to the young people, and the chorus was no. Why do you think that is the case? First, did you say no as
yes,
well?
Yes, I was part of the...
why did you say no?
I think the no is clear because there's a clear disconnect at the moment with how the UN is engaging with young people. The space, as young people are saying in the room, it's not even conducive for young people in the sense that how things are organized, how things are arranged, the formalities. The UN is not in the social media space, for example. A lot of people now are hearing about post-2015. The Secretary General, they could have opened up channels, for instance, so that young people could participate from where they are. We have the phones, we have the tools. We don't even need funding to participate. Just open up the spaces and start listening. And the point of listening is the UN needs to begin engaging in these new spaces.
How can young people get engaged in harnessing efforts towards achieving sustainable development goals?
What is happening here, and that's the interesting bit of, I think, around social media, is that young people who are previously unheard, these were voices that are not heard before because the channels were not listening. Young people now have the channels to actually amplify their voices. So I think it's the other way around, that young people have channels to speak. And that is what is happening. And a lot of them are saying we're already co-creating democracy. We are already innovating. We are already building scientific tools. We are already doing something. What we're asking from the other side is you need to listen and you need to plan around what you're doing. So it's not about you telling us what to do, but actually just plugging in and supporting us where we need the talks of infrastructure. Make it affordable, make it accessible, work with private sector and telcos to create platforms and tools and hardware that is actually affordable to a generation that is unemployed.
And talking about those challenges, things like unemployment, do you think information technology, social media, will contribute to reducing unemployment?
I think it does. If we look at it, especially in countries where were previously developing countries, it's where innovation is emerging. Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania now is coming up, and Nigeria is a big buzz, Ghana is a big buzz. So we can actually see that information technology is creating interesting opportunities for young people who previously would have been unemployed. So they're finding spaces to innovate and some money. There's a lot of entrepreneurship actually around information technology. So that's quite interesting. All you need is a website and a phone and you can already start marketing. For instance, you do not necessarily need a physical office space like before.
The Secretary General's opening speech had an appeal to work towards closing the digital gap. Is it something that is easy to realize?
What is increasingly emerging is that the digital divide, I think, is an amplification of a physical divide. And the challenge, I think, is historical. It's not easy to bridge because I think historically communities that have been excluded. Poverty is a big issue, I think, in this case. And poverty is a barrier even to accessing technology. So I think the idea is because investment in technology is far much less than investing in other things, and that could be a start. So secondly, I think, is in terms of simply government investing in open infrastructure. And I think for us, open infrastructure is about if you have content, if content can be in digital, so parents don't need to buy textbooks, that's lowering the barrier. Investing in hardware in schools, for example, what they call centers for excellence in every school, so that parents do not need to buy computers, then that again is lowering the barrier so that people, I think, have access to these kind of spaces and tools.